You can trust the Bible instead of the false teachers who are coming into these churches and trying to convince you otherwise. Because the prophecies that are contained in this Bible have been tested and they have been found to be true. You may remember back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, Peter wrote, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." Now, Peter is saying that the prophets recorded prophecies about some amazing things that are going to happen. But they didn't understand what they were writing. They made careful searches of their own writings and the writings of the other prophets to try to understand these things about a suffering Messiah and the glories that would follow. They wrote these things, but they had no idea what that meant. But now, we can know with absolute certainty that what they wrote was true. And how do we know? Because it happened. Just exactly as they said it would happen. Even though they didn't know what they were saying. Which is proof that they really weren't just making this stuff up. It actually happened. I told you this once before. It was more than an hour ago, so I think I can repeat it. It was actually just a little more than a year ago. I went back and looked, so I would be surprised if anyone remembers ever hearing this before. But this illustrates pretty well just how dependable our Bible is. There are more than 300 prophecies about the Messiah that were perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. Several years ago, there was a mathematician who figured up some probabilities. He put this in a book. It came out in the 60s, I think it was. That just supposing that God didn't exist and everything happened just by random chance, as it would have to if God didn't exist, as some people believe is how it happens. Take just 8 of the prophecies from the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. He found that the probability of 8 prophecies coming to pass in any one man from the time that the prophecy was made up until the 60s when the book was written was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. It's number 10 with 17 zeros behind it. Now he illustrates that number and that probability like this. You take that number of silver dollars, 10 to the 17th power. And if you laid them all in the state of Texas, and what else would you want to do with the state of Texas? You might as well cover it with silver dollars. You would cover the entire state 2 feet deep. The whole state of Texas. Now you take one of those silver dollars, make an X on it, throw it out there somewhere in the middle of Texas, blindfold someone, tell them to go out there and pick up one silver dollar. The probability of them picking up that one silver dollar with the mark on it is the same probability as any one person fulfilling 8 prophecies that were made in the Old Testament. Only 8. Now expand that to 16 prophecies. This is bonus. I didn't tell you about this the last time I gave you this. If it was all just random chance, the odds of 16 prophecies coming true in any one person increases to 1 in 10 to the 42nd power. The number 10 with 42 zeros behind it. Now, to visualize this number, imagine the same test, but this time you have a ball filled with silver dollars. And you know, I was reading back through this morning, and I was thinking, did I record this right? Because this just seems incredible. But I think this was true. That ball filled with silver dollars, the diameter of it would be 30 times greater than the distance from here to the sun. So imagine a ball that big. You can't. Filled with silver dollars. Mark one of them and send somebody in to pick one. The odds of them getting that one marked silver dollar are the same as 16 prophecies from the Old Testament being fulfilled in any one man. That's only 16. There are over 300 prophecies about the coming Messiah in the Old Testament that were perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. So Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure. That sounds pretty sure, doesn't it? More than 300 prophecies perfectly fulfilled in Jesus. We go on in verse 19. This makes an awful lot of sense. To which you do well to pay attention. I would think so. If it is that certain, that exact, you do well to pay attention. This is not the words of any mere men. This is from God. And God has given this word to us as a lamp shining in a dark place. Now, that word dark, it actually means dark and filthy. The word means murky. Now, to illustrate this, just suppose you are camping. And where you are camping, the only restroom facilities are some outhouses. You wake up in the middle of the night. You gotta go. What are the chances that you would fumble and feel your way to that outhouse? And suppose further, it's a cloudy night, no moon, no stars to give you any light. Would you fumble and feel your way several yards away to find that outhouse and use it in the middle of the night with no light whatsoever? My guess would be you would probably prefer to not. You never know what kind of critter you might run into on the way. You never know what you may... I don't want to get too graphic. You would not want to do that. You want a light. Well, that's basically what we've got. This world is filthy. It's dark. We need a lamp to see where we're going, to know what we might potentially run into. That is what the Bible is for us in this dark and filthy world. And Christians will need it until the day Christ returns. As long as you are in this dark world, you need a light. You need a lamp. That is God's word. So we know the Bible is true. The apostles saw and heard the fulfillment of those prophecies from the Old Testament. We know we need it. We know this world is filthy. We know we need a light. We can't avoid the filth without it. We know it's true. Where did it come from? You know, were those prophets, maybe they were just really, really, really smart. If they were able to figure out these things, they got together, they made sure their stories meshed. Is that how it happened? Well, verse 20 says, no, that's not how it happened. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Now, very simply and basically, what that means is that those prophets that you read, what they wrote in the Old Testament, they did not just make this stuff up on their own. They did not begin their writings with the words, "Well, here's what I think." It's also not that God just gave them some vague ideas or some impressions, and then he left them to try to figure out what he meant by those vague ideas or impressions, and then how to convey those ideas or impressions to others. This is about how we got the Bible, and it didn't come by the prophet's own understanding. I read those verses in 1 Peter where they didn't understand the things that they wrote sometimes. When Peter begins here by saying, "Know this first of all," that means this is really important. Pay attention to this. Understand this. This is not just the words of men. Now, there have been some who have taken verse 20 to mean that no individual should be trying to understand the Bible on their own. That should be left to the professionals. They did not want the average Joe reading and studying the Bible to try to figure out what it meant. You probably wouldn't understand it anyway. It's so confusing. So leave that to me. I will tell you what it means. And there are some who would interpret it that way. And it took the Reformation to change that. Now, if you have studied much about the Reformation, I would encourage you to, because it would give you a little better appreciation for that Bible you're holding there in your hands this morning. To be able to read it in your language. People died for that, for you to have that opportunity. Verse 21, Peter goes on to say, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will." Now, Peter is telling us here that the prophets don't make prophecies on their own because no human knows the future on their own. This isn't that these prophets were so amazing that they could understand the future. They weren't just really good weathermen who actually knew what was going to happen. No human can come up with a divine message on their own. Those prophets did not get to make up what they said. These were not just their ideas. And if that is the case, if they did not write based on their own ideas, shouldn't it follow that we don't get to make up what they meant? They didn't get to make up what they said. We don't get to make up what they meant. It means what it meant. If you ever are involved in a Bible study, you hear someone say, "Well, here's what this verse means to me." Graciously, lovingly find a way to let them know that what it means to them, their private interpretation, is irrelevant. The real question is, what did it mean to God? And what it meant to God is what it needs to mean to us. If we go by what it means to me, then the Bible means as many different things as you have different interpreters. There is no standard if it's just up to us and our own private interpretation. What did it mean to God? What did he mean to relay to us through those prophets? That's why studying God's word is so important. That's why it's so important that we read it and read it and read it and read it. Notice the context. Notice everything we can about it to try to discover what God meant. It would be easy to just open the pages, find a verse, read it, and say, "Well, here's what this means to me." and it'll mean something different to everyone that reads it. What did it mean to God? And that's what we need to know. So Peter has made it clear what the Bible is not. The Bible is not the work of mere men. So what is it? Where did it come from? Why is it so reliable? How is it that all of those prophecies came true? Over 300 of them that came true in the one person of Jesus Christ. How did that happen? Why is it the lamp to show us the right way to go? The end of verse 21 says, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, it's interesting when you read through the Bible and how the different books of the Bible have just a little different style to them. How the different authors like Peter and Paul and James and John, some of their personalities come through into the writing. And the reason for that is because of the way that God chose to communicate His Word to us. There are a few places in the Bible where there was direct dictation, where God said, write this down, and they wrote it down word for word. But most of the time, it was, as is described here in 2 Peter, that these men were moved by the Holy Spirit so that they would speak from God. Now, the Greek word that's translated moved or carried along is used of things like the ship that Paul was on when it was caught in the storm. And that ship was carried along by the wind and the waves. It went where the wind made it go. That's what the Holy Spirit did to the 40 different authors of the Bible. He moved them where He wanted them to go. He moved their thoughts. He directed their experiences in life to get them where He wanted them to be thinking the thoughts He wanted them to think, so that He could get the very words that He wanted to be there. Not by their will, by God's will. They were moved in such a way that they spoke or wrote, as Charles Hodge put it, that what they said, God said. Well, that was true of the original autographs. It has been so well copied, so well preserved over the years, and the more discoveries are made in archaeology, the more we realize just how reliable the Bible is down through the years. And so much work has gone into translation to get it right that when you hold a good translation of the Bible in your hands, you can be confident that you are in possession of the Word of God. Which takes my mind right back to verse 19, to which you do well to pay attention. If this is God's word, this is what He said, the creator of the universe, the one who is in charge of eternity, shouldn't we want to know what He said? So for the sake of repetition, as Peter says is so important, read your Bible. When the trials come, when the suffering comes, as it did for these first people that Peter was addressing this to, when the false teachers come, the temptations come, the flesh is working against us and Satan is trying to oppose us, this Word of God is our lamp to navigate through all of that darkness. This is what gives us hope. This is our comfort. This is our peace. And this will take us in the right direction on to glory for eternity. You do well to pay attention. Read your Bible. That's the simplest, most basic conclusion we can come to from all of these verses. Read your Bible. And pay attention to what it says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that you have given us your word, that you have not left it to chance. You did not leave us to the mercies of some smart men who could come up with maybe some details that sound reasonable. But you actually gave us your word, that every jot and every tittle in the Bible has come to us from you, that we can depend on it to guide us through the filth of this world, and we can stake our lives, our eternity on it, because we can be so certain, because it has been tested, it has been found to be true. We can stake our eternity on it and know for certain that what you say is true, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that we can come to you to spend eternity with you forever if we come to you through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we would pay attention, that we would realize what a valuable resource this is, that we have such easy access to your word. So we pray that you would help us to read it and to pay attention, that you would change us through it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.